The following is an exclusive sports presentation of Extra Sports 1300.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Southern Colorado, it's time for your live and local sports talk show.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
Drive Time Sports, presented by Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, your sports action hub with over 54 TVs so you don't miss out on the action, located at Woodman and I-25. The only place to hear talk about your teams.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh man, I hate those guys.
Here are your hosts, Ryan Kaufman and Chris Braden, with the godfather of Colorado Springs Sports Radio, Wheels.
Good 4th of July Eve to you. Welcome to the program. Wheels and Ryan with you in studio. Had to wait quite a while. We waited through Friday night, which was insane. Saturday, which was a little less insane, but still pretty cuckoo bananas. All the way into Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and then finally the news comes down. Paul Millsap is a Denver Nugget, 3 years, $90 million. So you have the front office there, you have Jokic, you have Harris, and then you have Brandon Marshall from the Broncos come in and pitch Paul Millsap on playing in Denver. And while that may sound silly to you, Wheels and I were discussing this over the weekend. How do you not have the Broncos pitch every free agent? They're the most consistent winning franchise in Colorado. They have higher profile players, more well-respected players than the Nuggets, Avalanche, or Rockies do. I mean, if you want to lure a free agent here, the Broncos are your best shot. Because also, what are you, if you're a guy, I don't know what Paul Millsap's motivations are, if he cares that much about the attendance at Pepsi Center. But if you are trying to pitch the idea of fan support, Broncos are the only team that get real, consistent fan support. Rockies get a lot of people in Coors Field, but we, as we discuss very much and very often on this show, party deck doesn't count as fans. So the Broncos are the only ones who fill up their stadium every week. The fans are berserk. So it makes all the sense in the world why you get a Bronco to pitch Paul Millsap, and it ends up working.
Well, and something I saw on Twitter, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's true or not, or if somebody was just making a joke. Apparently, Paul Millsap's a Broncos fan.
Oh.
So that helps too when you have
right. Although it might fan. Be, we were talking about Paul George a few weeks ago, and it's that bringing in TD or Shannon Sharp. And I think Shannon Sharp joked that that he wished that he was included on the whole thing. Yeah but so it.
So if you have somebody from a team you root for,
right,
talking up the city you're about to go to. Mm-hmm. Then that helps.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And it got it done. So, of course, Brandon Marshall's been bragging on social media ever since. But whatever.
He should.
Well, as he should, right. What did he say? He tweeted out, "I could sell water to a well." It's like, that's not the best tweet to send out. Because, what, are you duping Paul Millsap? That's why I kind of feel like that tweet.
He's that good of a salesman. Right. That's what he's saying.
I know. But
it's like, I could sell ice to an Eskimo.
Right.
You know.
But then the Eskimo is stupid because he's taking your ice when he has plenty.
No,
but
you're
anyway.
So good at it.
Anyway, it got it done, right? And this is the most significant free agent signing in probably the history of the Denver Nuggets, honestly. And I'm not being over dramatic, that's just how low of a bar we set when it comes to the Nuggets. Now, just to be historically accurate, Kenyon Martin was a sign and trade. So this is the most, but I would say Kenyon Martin was a bigger get at the time than Paul Millsap was this weekend. But you had to give up assets to the Nets in order to land Kenyon Martin. With this, and Paul Millsap told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution they didn't even reach out, the Hawks didn't, to offer him a contract. So, biggest straight-on free agent, no compensation going to his previous team kind of acquisition ever. So it's huge. And it makes a ton of sense as a basketball player. This guy has spent the last four consecutive seasons going to the All-Star game. This is a presence for a young team that he's both also, he's gone to the All-Star game, so he's had personal success, but he's also helped the Atlanta Hawks win 60 games and be a pretty consistently winning franchise in Atlanta. So it's huge for guys like Moutier and Jokic and guys like that, these young guys that are still trying to figure out what it will take to be winners. He's a great fit with Jokic. I still like the Blake Griffin fit better, but look, he didn't even make it to the meeting with the Nuggets. Clippers, and that's another thing. We need to devote some time to this today. Did you see the shirt that the Clippers put on for Blake Griffin? Oh my goodness. My sensibilities. I don't get offended easily. I really don't. I get agitated easily, but I don't get offended easily. To put Einstein, MLK, Obama, Gandhi, I think Nelson Mandela was on there, and then to nestle Blake Griffin into that mix with the word pioneers on it. Come on, Clippers. Come on. That is so bad. But it worked, I guess, right? So Blake Griffin doesn't even make it to his meeting with the Denver Nuggets. But Paul Millsap, as a silver medal or as a consolation prize, pretty good. He can stretch the floor. He has range. He rebounds. He can be a more physical presence to go alongside Nikola Jokic. So it's a great fit as a player. And what was the knock we were talking about all last week? He's 32, right? If you give him a max deal, you'll be paying him $20 million when he's 37. Well, guess what? 2 years plus a team option. And for those of you who are saying, I see a lot of you on Twitter saying this, there was too much money for Paul Millsap. You're paying him for what he's done and not what he's going to do and blah, 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 blah. It's the NBA. The salary doesn't matter. Who are you trying to hold out money for? Who cares if Paul Millsap gets as much as he's going to get? It's all about the term. 2 years plus a team option. That is a great investment. I don't care what Paul Millsap is making. See, look at some of the other guys. Remember last year, look at Solomon Hill's contract, what he got from the Pelicans. Money is crazy in NBA free agency, but don't be lazy and be one of those people that say, oh, it's too much money. It's not too much. It's how long you have them for. How long do you have to pay them? And for me, a maximum of 3 years for Paul Millsap on this contract, I'll take it. I'll take it any day of the week. Now, there will still be... Plus, here's the thing. If it's good enough for Stan E. Pennypacker, why isn't it good for you? He's one of the most frugal owners in the history of professional sports, and he's cool with what his son spent on Paul Millsap. But anyway, some steps have to happen. This team is not done. Shouldn't be done, isn't done, won't be done. Because they right now have six guys that identify as power forwards. Millsap, Fareed, Arthur, Wancho, Lyles, and Lydon. So there has to be some movement made there. Now, the easiest way to think about what the Nuggets need to do is they have until Thursday to do a couple of things, one of two things. Either they can move Fareed or Arthur and keep the 22-point-whatever cap hit with Gallinari with the idea that they would try to bring him back, which is a whole nother issue on top of that. But you don't need Fareed and Arthur. I've always said that Fareed is a better bench player than he is a starter. So in an ideal world, wouldn't you keep Fareed over Arthur? But Fareed makes more money, so it helps you out financially to deal him. Plus, I don't know that Fareed will take too kindly to a demotion in favor of Paul Millsap. So basically one of those two things have to happen. Either you got to unload some pieces that you have currently on your roster, or you're going to have to relinquish that cap hit for Gallinari, which basically takes away any advantage you have in negotiations. You can't give him that extra year. You don't have bird rights, all that kind of stuff. So that's what the Nuggets will have to do between now and Thursday in order to afford Paul Millsap. Now there are rumors that George Hill still very much in play for the Nuggets. I like that idea. But here's the other part of this. I think the Nuggets are a playoff team right now. I really do. And if you look at this, you have Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, Minnesota, OKC. All definitely better, right? OKC gets Paul George, so they're going to be slightly worse than they were when it was Westbrook and Durant. Then you have Minnesota has done all that they've done. You have Houston adding Chris Paul. San Antonio is San Antonio. Golden State is Golden State. Okay, so that makes the best case scenario the sixth seed for the Nuggets. But look at the teams that they're battling with. Clippers get Blake back, but they downgraded from CP3 to Beverly. They're going hard after Danilo Gallinari, apparently. They put all these great Italian visionaries on a t-shirt and apparently gave it to Gallinari, and that's why he's thinking about signing there. I kid, obviously. But so Clippers have maintained but then downgraded in other spots. So there's work to do for the Clippers to be one of those top half of the Western Conference teams. Memphis finished just 3 games ahead of the Nuggets last year. Only 3 games. And Zach Randolph is going to be a year older. They're so cap-strapped, they're doing nothing in free agency. They're not getting any better. Then you have the Blazers, who were 3 games better than the Nuggets after the Nurkic trade. Now, you could definitely make a case that the Blazers will just keep ascending and be even better because they struggled for much of the season last year before they got Nurkic. But the Blazers aren't overwhelmingly better than the Denver Nuggets are right now. And then Utah, we don't even know if they're going to have George Hill or Gordon Hayward. And if they don't have Gordon Hayward, it's back to the Cavaliers post-LeBron. Not saying Hayward is LeBron, but what Hayward means to the Jazz is very similar to what LeBron meant to the Cavs. Everything in Utah is built around Gordon Hayward. And I think it will be very difficult for them to be a playoff team without him. So I think that the Nuggets can get in there. Now, I don't think they'll be a top half of the Western Conference team. I don't even think they'll win a series. But again, this signing 2 years plus the team option, it is so Paul Millsap can, one, get the Nuggets into the playoffs, because you're not going, Nuggets fan. You're not going to the games. They need you back. And how do they do that? Be in a postseason chase the entire time and go into the postseason, those extra games to make some money. So that's what Paul Millsap is there to do. But also he is there to make Jamal Murray, to make Nikola Jokic, to make Emmanuel Mudiay, if he stays, to make them better players. So in a couple more years after this, then the Nuggets can start to ascend up the Western Conference ladder. But I think this move makes them a playoff team. I hope they're not done, but I think Paul Millsap is a great addition to the team. If you'd like to weigh in on our poll question today, it's very simple. With the addition of Millsap, are the Nuggets a playoff team? At Extra Sports 1300 on Twitter, you can vote yes, no. We got the text line open, 286-0046. Plenty more on Paul Millsap coming up later on in the show. So the Rockies, it wasn't all bad yesterday. NL rosters come out. Rockies have 4 All-Stars. It's their most in team history. They get Obviously, Nolan, Chuck, Holland, no-brainers, right? Nolan starts at third. Charlie Blackman starts in the outfield. Greg Holland is on the pitching staff. Those are no-brainers. Obviously, should be there. If you want to make an argument in terms of should Nolan start at third base or whatever, that's fine. But they are all-stars, all three, no-brainers. Then you get to DJ LeMahieu. And Keith Law, who I like very much, friend of the program, he wrote today that DJ LeMahieu might be the worst all-star. And you say, that's a strong take. Let me click and see what happens. And then and that's exactly what they want you to do. But anyway, I clicked it. I read it. So he makes a case that they should swap out DJ LeMahieu for Chris Bryant. Which, to that I say, love that idea. Chris Bryant's more deserving than DJ LeMahieu. Anybody would be able to say that. Even people who sip the purple Kool-Aid so much that they're actually their skin is turning purple would say that Chris Bryant deserves to be an all-star over DJ LeMahieu. But that's not the thing here. You can't swap out. This is how the all-star rosters have worked all the time. We have a second baseman voted in. We need a second baseman to back him up. That's the way it works. Chris Bryant's not a second baseman. So while Keith Law makes a compelling point in terms of if we just took all positions off the table and just said, let's take the 20-whatever best players, Chris Bryant would get in over DJ LeMahieu 11 times out of 10. But again, that you're making an argument against DJ LeMahieu in terms of his deserving to make it and how good of a player he is compared to his all-star teammates by saying that they should replace him with a player from a different position when we all know that every position gets at least one backup. Nolan Arenado has a backup. Zach Cozart at short has a backup. Daniel Murphy at second as a backup is DJ LeMahieu. So that's the way it works. If you want to make an argument that after the starters, it should be the manager's discretion to, you know, if he feels like DJ LeMahieu shouldn't be on the roster and maybe he'd like Chris Bryant, but then you're going to be in a situation where Daniel Murphy might have to play the whole game. Or you could make a selection like Anthony Rendon, who's a third baseman, but came up playing second base. You could do something like that. And I'm willing to listen on that argument. But to say DJ LeMahieu sucks and doesn't deserve to be an all-star, and then say that the alternative is putting in somebody that doesn't play the same position, to me, that's not fair for DJ LeMahieu. And if you look at DJ LeMahieu in terms of him being a deserving second baseman, he absolutely is. You look at, he ranks in the top three of hits, batting average, runs on base percentage, and is fourth in RBIs. He's second to Daniel Murphy, the starter, in two of those categories. So if you took the second most deserving second baseman, it's DJ LeMahieu. So I think that Keith Law is a little bit off base. Now, the second base position is just weak. I mean, other than Daniel Murphy most years, who do you feel like deserves to be a starter? Who deserves to be an all-star? If you say DJ LeMahieu all-star, you're like, really? But again, you take one player from every position. You can't go and say Chris Bryant deserves to get in over Daniel Murphy. That's not the way it works. So it's not the way it works for DJ LeMahieu either. So... the other thing, Wills, did you see that the Rockies Twitter tweeted at Keith Law?
No, I didn't see that.
I've never seen this before. So they tweeted at Keith Law. So basically something to the effect of, so you're saying the managers and players don't know how to properly pick an all-star team. That is... I've never, ever, ever seen a team's Twitter account go after somebody, a member of the media. Now, we just talked the other day during social media day about how the Rockies and I have teamed up to go on Twitter adventures together. So I love Rockies Twitter. But I've never seen that, and I don't know how I feel about it. Since it's the Rockies, I'll probably say that's awesome, and I'd love to see more of that. But if it was like Dodgers Twitter or something, then maybe I would have an issue with it. I just feel like it's – part of me says, yeah, you go, but part of me says that's a little unbecoming of a team to publicly question somebody's opinion that is writing. It just struck me very weird. And now here's the other thing. You really want to make people like Keith Law angry? Why don't you vote Mark Reynolds in for the final vote? He is up for the final vote. Now, the wrong that has been perpetrated on Mark Reynolds is that the guy had to be a write-in vote. That's not fair. He should have been on the ballot, which means they should print up the ballots later on in the season. Because from what I remember, Mark Reynolds was raking like 2 weeks into the season. So if they just would have waited a little bit longer, they would have said, oh, Mark Reynolds, I bet people will want to vote for him because he's doing really well. Let's put him on the roster. Plus, he's the Rockies' first baseman. But at the same time, you also blame the Rockies because they kept saying that Ian Desmond is the first baseman, even though he is not. So anyway, Mark Reynolds is up for the final vote. And here's... I would say no. If you took the most deserving player, he's not. But here's the thing. If you go to Rockies.com or MLB.com to vote, and you look at what Major League Baseball has displayed in terms of, hey, it's Mark Reynolds, hey, it's D.D. Gregorius, and it's Chris Bryant, and et cetera, et cetera. They show four stats for each player. They show batting average, home runs, RBI, stolen bases, and total at-bats. Why the hell does anybody care how many total at-bats these guys have had? But here's the thing. Look at average, home run, RBI, stolen base. Mark Reynolds is second to Justin Turner in batting average. But then he's leading home runs and RBIs. And at-bats for people who care. He does have more at-bats than the other guys on the roster. Chris Bryant has the most stolen bases, but it's only six. Mark Reynolds has one. So MLB kind of doing the Rockies a favor by showing the statistics that make Mark Reynolds look the best. Batting average, home runs, RBIs, and apparently at-bats. Because if you delve deeper into the numbers, Mark Reynolds is not a more deserving all-star. But that being said, text N4 to 89269. Again, N4 to 89269. You are limited to 35 total votes per telephone number, just so you know. But you can vote for Mark that way. You can also tweet hashtag be like Mark, or you can log on to MLB.com and Rockies.com. And for those of you who care, I guess the Yankees and the Rockies are combining forces. I thought it would be Moustakas and Reynolds. I thought the Royals and the Rockies would get together. You know, middle of the country, smaller markets, banding together. Plus, the Royals nearly got 8 position players in the All-Star game last year or the year before. But apparently, the Rockies and the Yankees got something going. So, if you care about that, you can vote for D.D. Gregorius. I'm not going to, but I am going to vote for Mark Reynolds. So, oh yeah, yeah,
hey,
welcome back, Drive Time Sports,
getting
here on Extra Sports 1300. I always have a complicated relationship with this song because I love it and yeah. It's catchy, yeah. But then the realization starts to sink in that Apollo Creed's about to get killed, and then yeah. I'm like, oh. I don't feel quite as good about
it. But that's a movie, Ryan. It's not real life. Just FYI.
There's a discussion over the weekend that we should have. People who are we're supposed to believe are good in movies but are actually really horrible people.
Yeah.
Adrian's right at the top of that list. Remember
Yo,
when she,
Adrian!
You can't win!
Yeah. I would agree
jerk.
With that. I would put her in there.
Well, so hey. Anyway, we'll maybe get into that discussion later. Joining us now is Sam Farnsworth from KKTV because four-day weekends are not his thing either. Hey, Sam.
What's up? And does Apollo count as one of those bad guys? Because we find out after watching Creed that he was messing around, right?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good point. Yeah, Apollo Creed. Other ones that were mentioned on there, Jenny from Forrest Gump. She is an abysmal human being.
I would agree with that.
And then this one's not new. Jim Rome used to talk about this. Grandpa Joe from Charlie's Chocolate Factory.
Oh,
horrible
yeah,
person.
Yeah. Good one.
What
good
about
one.
The fiance on Castaway when he came back and she was like, dude,
oh,
we
yeah.
buried you.
Kidding?
Yeah. There are
hey,
a
Sam.
Lot of people in movies that are supposed to be good but aren't.
I was just going to tell Sam, you're the number six person I'm following. I went through and unfollowed everybody, and I'm adding them up slowly, and I just added you.
He's so. Going through a midlife Twitter crisis right now.
That was so. Too many.
Fantastic. I'll always remember the number six now.
Right, there you go. So, Paul Millsap, I'll just open-ended question to you. Your thoughts about the Nuggets landing him?
Well, I'm taking a minute here to answer because I don't know. I guess I don't really have a sense very well yet of what Nuggets fans think. But here's my thought. I don't think he's a $90 million guy. I think it's a good signing, not a $90 million signing. So that makes it seem like it's maybe more of a to me. And the only reason why I say that is I don't think he's necessarily an improvement over anything the Nuggets already have. I guess I would probably take Millsap over you know Fareed. Millsap plays both ends of the floor. I think a little better than Fareed. He's got a better shot. But he's still, you know, just kind of your average double-double guy, in my opinion. And so it'll be interesting to see how the Nuggets use him and plug him in. But as of right now, I'm just kind of like, $90 million for Paul Millsap? Really? That's kind of my thought.
But isn't it about the term more? I mean, because I had this discussion in the first hour of the show because I have heard a lot of people like, really, you're spending that much? But it's like, who are you holding on to that cap space for? So, yes, he's not worth it, but I would argue that Steph Curry isn't worth 200 and whatever million dollars. So but it's about the term, and they get Paul Millsap for 2 years, and then the team has the option. So for me, I think there's a reasonable argument to be made one way or the other about their playoff chances with Paul Millsap, but I do think that the term of the contract kind of counterbalances the amount of money because they're giving him a ton of money. He's probably not worth it, but they're only giving it to him for a maximum of 3 years, whereas going into the free agency process, we were worried that they were going to have to give him 5 years.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. It's a conversation that I had over the weekend as well with a couple of friends about, you know, that's the $90 million shouldn't be that shocking because that's today's NBA, right? That's you get all this extra cap space almost every year. It's almost like a use it or lose it type deal, right? You might as well spend the money you've got it. And so, that point I agree with because bigger star players, as you mentioned, Steph Curry, those guys are going to land even huger, if that's a word.
It is
even bigger contracts, you know, and you know, who else were they going to spend it on? I agree. I don't think there was anyone else. So you might as well make sure you get someone. And Paul Millsap's an all-star. And so you're getting a good player. You are. You're getting a good player. I just don't see him as the Nuggets' maybe premier go-to guy. you know, or anything in any sense of what they're going to do. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Mike Malone uses him.
So, Sam, I'm with you kind of. I feel pretty much the same way as you do. And if I'm trying to shine it up or glass half full, maybe now the Nuggets have, because we all agree, regardless of what he does on the court, he's a pro's pro, he's an all-star, he's a good player. Maybe he can come in here and show these young guys how to be a professional player like Murray and Jokic and maybe steady the locker room a little bit.
That's a good point, too, because I think that's one thing that the Nuggets have been lacking the past several years even. It seems like some of their more veteran players, for lack of a better way of putting it, almost don't care as much, you know.
Right.
And I think Paul Millsap will bring a sense of pride in you know, taking ownership for what you're doing out there on the floor. And so being that example, being that clubhouse, that locker room leader, that would be big for the Nuggets too if he's able to step up and fulfill that role.
Sam Farnsworth, KKTV, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Because you know the Utah Jazz better than any of us do, as far as us trying to make a case that the Nuggets are a playoff team, I don't think with what Oklahoma City did, getting Paul George, with what Houston did, trading for Chris Paul, I think that they're definitely out of reach for the Nuggets. Golden State, San Antonio already were. Minnesota, we'll see how that gels, but on paper I think they're a better team than Minnesota. So the number of options of teams that the Nuggets can get in the playoffs over, right? Because if you're saying the Nuggets are a playoff team, you have to take one of the eight and say they're not on. So if Utah loses Gordon Hayward, are they still a playoff team in the Western Conference?
It all depends, in my opinion, on, you know, what do they do to fill that spot, because there's not a lot of options.
What about if they just rolled with Joe Ingles at that spot?
But Joe Ingles isn't a, you know, 22 points per game scorer, you know what I mean? He fills a great role. Joe Ingles is a solid defender, but he's not one of your, you know, go-to guys when you need a big shot. But maybe that's what they would be forced to do. I like the addition of Ricky Rubio. You know, he's a double-double guy, points and assists, or close to it. I think 9 assists a game last year. He's a good guard there. If they're able to keep Hayward, I think they're a better team. If not, I mean, they were still 10 games above the Blazers. I don't think they're necessarily 10 games worse. So I would say they're maybe hanging around back towards the bottom of the Western Conference playoff picture. The Nuggets should be right back in that talk again. And then one of the teams you mentioned that I thought was going to be a lot better last year, but I think should be better this year again, is going to be the Timberwolves. That could be a team that could sneak up where Portland was, you know, in that eighth spot or so. So that division is going to be a very competitive division once again. And I guess it's a good thing, but it's going to make it tough to get to the playoffs.
Give us the latest from next door over in Utah. Is Gordon Hayward going to stay? Is he going to hashtag Stayward?
Hashtag Stayward, man. I'll tell you what. The fan in me is always going to be optimistic, right? The journalist in me says I think he's leaning towards Boston. But I have no source inside scoop. I'm just following what my friends that work in the business from Utah, what they've been covering. The latest update is just who the Jazz brass is that's been meeting with Hayward today. But I've seen some other little hints out there that he's already kind of leaning towards Boston and just kind of having this meeting as a, you know, thank you, appreciate the time, and you know, best of luck in Utah as he moves on. So we'll see what the final decision is, but I'm not that optimistic that he's going to stay in Utah, but I'm hopeful, very hopeful.
What kind of react? Because I can't remember. I'm pretty sure that Utah fans were generally okay with Karl Malone going to the Lakers at the end of his career. So this would be the first time that they have had like a bona fide star player that would leave them in the prime of his career. I mean, you are out here in Colorado where you know very well how people reacted to Carmelo Anthony. You saw how people reacted in Cleveland to LeBron. I'm curious how fans in Salt Lake City would view Gordon Hayward if he left for Boston or Miami. Would they hate him? Would they burn his jersey?
I think they would look at him as a villain a bit. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you brought up Carmelo. He was going into his 20th NBA season, 19th, 20th, something like that. With Stockton already retiring, everyone knew the Jazz weren't a contender. And so I think everyone was wishing him luck. Hey, go out and get your ring. At least that was the hope there. Darren Williams, the Jazz decided to trade him. He didn't necessarily decide to leave. The Jazz decided to trade him away. So, yeah, this is probably the first all-star type guy that has been like, you know what, I'm out of here. And if he leaves, and if that happens, especially considering the circumstances, the Jazz are definitely a top four team in the West with him. And without him, they could potentially miss the playoffs. And so he would definitely become a villain in Utah. And anytime, the one time of year that Boston is in Salt Lake, that he'll hear it.
What do Jazz fans think of Paul Millsap? Because he started his career there.
I say we again. We loved him. We all wanted to keep him. Jazz wanted Millsap to stick around, but it was one of those situations where, you know, you've got teams signing offer sheets and all those things, and it wasn't enough money. The Jazz didn't have the money to keep him. He was getting offered more money than the Jazz could afford, and it was one of those, we want him to stay, but we can't afford to keep him. And his career has been great in Atlanta. I think it would have been similar had he stayed. And, you know, coming to Denver, he should continue to be, I would guess, around a 17, 18 points a game type, 10, 12 rebounds a game type guy for the Nuggets. And definitely getting a good player. And as you guys talked about before, as we talked about a little bit earlier, he's a good teammate. So I think the Nuggets will like him.
Strong competition on the text line today. Apparently you guys want the $25 to Texas T-Bone. Wayne texts in, thanks for your day-to-day simplistic humor. Is that an insult or a compliment?
I think that's my contribution to the show.
Fair enough. We also got one 2-inch grilled ribeye.
Yes, that's a great choice.
I assume that's
on
his 4th of July. Okay.
Great choice.
Sounds good. Albert texts in.
He got a few in.
Uh-huh. Rockies get no credit nationally. Yes, the ball travels, but center field is 415. I'd like to hear a New York reporter saying Yankee players have an advantage because their stadium is a bandbox, as right field is only 315. Rockies have earned their spots in the All-Star game. I agree. I mean, DJ LeMahieu, if you want to make a case and list all of the players in the National League, he would not rank high enough. But he is the second best second baseman in the National League. So I agree with you. Just on the bandbox right field porch thing, true story about yours truly. In my younger years, circa 2007, 2009, something like somewhere around there, I called into one program called the Jim Rome Show. And I made the case to the then producer of said program that all these Philly fans should shut up because their field is ridiculously easy to hit home runs in, and it's a band box, and they shouldn't be saying anything about the altitude. And I got, thank you, click. So they don't want to hear it, Albert. They don't want to hear the truth.
I didn't know you got hung up on
that. I got hung up on by the Jim Rome Show.
I flamed out on it once. This was back in the 90s.
But we are totally qualified for our jobs now, though. So
I got on the air, though.
I've been on plenty of shows before, just not hype over the Nuggets adding Millsap is just like hoping for the Rockies to win the West this season. Both teams are better. Both teams are winners. Neither will win any type of championship this season, or in the case of the Nuggets next season, got to be happy with improvement. I agree, and that's what I've been saying during this show. Where are we setting the bar for the Rockies and the Nuggets? Like, it's been quite a while since we've had playoffs in for either one of those teams.
If so we're being honest, so the Rockies have been further than the Nuggets ever have in way less time.
Well, that's true, but I'm just saying, like, all of a sudden now we shouldn't try to be better because the Golden State Warriors exist? Like, it's stupid.
That's what Paul Klee said.
Well, I think that's a stupid take.
I think it's a bad take, too, but it took them $90 million to get a $70 million guy in Denver, which I'm fine with.
That his old team, I'm fine with it. It's just money. Who cares?
It is. 10 G's per minute.
Steve texting in, Billups said no to Cleveland. Is he too old to play again? Well, he's too old to play in the NBA. He's playing in the Big Three. That's interesting because reports are that Billups wouldn't take the job because he's worried that LeBron's going to leave. And I would say for someone like Chauncey Billups, who has spent a long time jockeying for a front office position and couldn't even get one for his hometown team, I would not be, you know, turning away opportunities.
Why, man? If LeBron leaves, that team is the worst team in the NBA.
Is Chauncey Billups going to get hired by – Ainge going to get fired and Chauncey Billups
no,
is going to go
but
there?
No, but I think that's a bigger tell on the other end. I think if Chauncey's worried LeBron's leaving, then there might be something to it. Because I think it's going to happen.
I don't think people are lining up to get Chauncey Billups to be the general manager, and I think that he should take a job when he has one. He can always go back to ESPN. They recycle talent.
Who
at
wants
ESPN
to live in Cleveland? Like we complain about Denver being a flyover city. If they didn't have LeBron, that'd be 10 times worse than Denver.
I'm just telling you, not a lot of people are knocking on Chauncey Billups' door to get him to run
Cleveland
their
franchise. Is a big flaming bag of dog poo poo.
And Chauncey Billups is not qualified for the position that he
you
wants.
You don't know
to have.
That.
Yes, I do.
No.
Yes,
look
I
at
do.
John Elway.
John Elway's qualified to do anything.
I know he's John Elway. He's glorious.
Best text of the day is going to go to Chris. We had earlier in the show, somebody was texting us and then was texting their significant other, and it said, I won't embarrass it. It just said nothing.
There was
two
texts.
It was just, I love you.
Yeah.
We got an I love you. Which was funny,
yeah,
and it wasn't meant for us. So Chris, understanding that Chris and I need constant reaffirmation and pats on the back, texted in, I love you guys, and this is meant for you.
Yes.
So this $25 gift certificate to Texas T-Bone is meant for you, Chris.
Thank you, Thank Chris. You.
That's going to do it for the show. No show tomorrow. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. In the meantime, have a very happy Independence Day and enjoy Sky Sox warm-up followed by Sky Sox and Omaha. Dan Acheson standing by here on Extra Sports 1300.